Now this morning we're going to take a heavenly view of things in a way that we rarely do. We needn't take a look at the heavens more than maybe once a decade at the most, but we'll do it a little differently today. First, let's read Matthew chapter 1, starting with the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. I'll just divert for a moment here. Now, if the Holy Spirit were a personality, then Jesus would be the Son of the Holy Spirit, not of God the Father, wouldn't he? And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this has come to pass, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Has it been called Emmanuel yet? But the promise is that he will be called Emmanuel. God is with us. Which, being interpreted, God is with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east. We'll want to talk more about that. And are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written through the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are in no wise least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth a governor, who shall be shepherd of my people Israel. Now why Bethlehem? Well, that was the place where David and his father lived, Bethlehem. So it was the city of David at that time. And they, having heard the king, went their way, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And we'll talk more about that. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I tell thee, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And he arose and took the young child and his mother by night, and he departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt did I call my son. Now we'll consider a couple of prophecies. Genesis 1:14, perhaps you could call it a statement rather than a prophecy, but it seems significant in some way. In the creative days, each creative day, 1 through 6, starts with, "And God said." The first "and God said" comes in verse 3. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How long did it take? Any amount of time anybody wants to say, and it's consistent with our Bible. In verse 14, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years." It's not hard for us to understand how the sun in the sky, as it appears to us, varies through the seasons. And we're approaching winter season now. And certainly separates the day from the night. But how is it that the stars are for signs? Well, for one, we turn to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." We will listen now as we have the trio sing, "What Child Is This?"
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? Thus, thus is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians, fear for sinners, hear the silent word is pleading. Thus, thus is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king, to own him. The King of kings, salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Thus, thus is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Now, in order to think about the stars, we have to take the heavenly view of things. Again, let them be for signs and for seasons. Now, the Babylonian zodiac was a corruption of the earlier one. The Arabs preserved it a lot longer. And the Babylonian zodiac starts, I think, with Aries in the at the spring equinox. But the more ancient one started with Virgo at the time of the summer solstice. And it ended with number 12, Leo the Lion. Now, just a little sidetrack. If the zodiac began when the sun at the summer solstice was in the first degree of Virgo, as Bailey, the astronomer, says it did, it would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of B.C. 4301 to 4011. That would be consistent with the second volume chronology, but it a little bit excludes Usher's chronology of B.C. 4004. Now, if the zodiac began with Virgo the Virgin, and we compare that with a virgin shall conceive and bear a son who will last forever with King Jesus Christ, the Lion, and we suggest the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, we won't take time to go through these today, but it's easy enough to see if Jesus were born under the sign of Virgo, that would be, we think, in B.C. 2, around October 1st, the New Year, New Year's Day, then that makes good sense. The next sign after that was Libra, the balances of justice, because he came to satisfy justice. And then, of course, we can guess that the scorpion is related to Jesus and so forth. And then finally, we end up with Leo, the Lion. I suggest the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This now is a representation of the constellation Virgo. Now, you look at the stars and you wonder, how did they get that idea? But Adam was not told to name the stars and the constellations. Evidently, they had already been named by God. He had to learn them from God. Well, notice that the brightest star, if I can get this to, it's down here, and this is, these are stalks of wheat here in her hand. Up on top, she's holding a branch. Remember the prophecy of Jesus as the branch. He's up on top. Down below, not barley, which would represent Jesus, but wheat, which would represent the church. Now we can get an idea of the significance of some of the constellations and stars. The planet Jupiter, a wandering star, I think that's what planet means, was used to represent the king. Saturn, not as bright, the priest. Venus, a woman. Mercury, the messenger, because it travels the fastest. It makes its travel around the sun in less than 90 days. And then Mars, that red star, the adversary. Again, Virgo is the virgin. Libra now is the balances of justice. Jesus was born when the sun was illuminating the constellation of Virgo. That's how they reckon, which is the sign of the zodiac. And again, when Jesus became 30 years of age, the constellation was Virgo. But then, when he was baptized and he went into the wilderness, the next constellation was Libra, the balances of justice. Does it fit? when Jesus offered himself, when he offered himself at Calvary, the sunlit sign was Aries, the ram. He was the offering. And then we come to another constellation. That's the final one, Leo, the lion, where the bright star Regulus, right at the celestial equator, and that was deemed to be the king star in Leo, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, how would the Magi have known about this? Well, they were from a far country. They were from Iran or Persia. But suppose we go back about 500 years or so. Who was head of the wise men? Was it not Daniel who had the Lord's Spirit? Daniel could have taught them these things. And then, 5 centuries later, they would know what to look for. And I think that's a reasonable conclusion, that it might very well be so. Now we come to this constellation of Leo the lion, and we find the bright star, it's one of the brighter stars in the sky, is Regulus. Now in the time of BC 2, some interesting things were happening. Jupiter, coming from the right, and then goes forward and stops, comes back and stops, and goes forward again. It makes a very narrow loop right at the star Regulus. That would suggest that something is going on in the kingly world, the one who was born king of the Jews, and ultimately of the whole world. The trio will now sing, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." That's hymn number 345. It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Heavenly
splendors fling, and all the world gives back the song which now the angels sing.
The Star That Astonished the World. There was a book written about that to try to see what could be intended as the star that astonished the world. As we look at the things that happened in the time of John and Jesus when they were born, we'll see that in B.C. 3, the priesthood of Zechariah, John's father, would have been May 11 to 18, because Zechariah's course was the course of Abijah, which was the number 8 course. Just trivia, but all of the priests participated for the three major holidays, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks with at Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, Booths, Sukkoth. So there were two such courses already before number 8 was due, and that is how we reckon the first of the two courses of Zechariah, May 11 to 18, and about half a year later would have been his second course for the year. On May 20th of B.C. 3, at 1:08 in the morning, so it would have been clearly visible in the constellation of Taurus, the bull or the bullock, there was a conjunction of Mercury and Saturn. That would have been a message to the priest. The priest was Zechariah. On June 3rd, there was a conjunction of Venus and Saturn, but it would not really have been visible. But it could be about the time that John was conceived. On May 8th, there was a conjunction of Jupiter, the king star, the king planet, with the king star Regulus. Perhaps Jesus was conceived in January. That's later, or earlier, I should say. So this is the time of Mary's pregnancy. And that conjunction was in the constellation of Leo. John was born in B.C. 2, probably around the month of April. And that would have been close to the conjunction of Jupiter and Regulus. But then, on June 17th, there was another conjunction, this time Jupiter and Venus, the king planet with the woman planet. And this would be before the birth of Christ. Now, just as a little side note, in B.C. 2, Sentius Saturninus ceased to be the governor, and a fellow named Varus took over. But there was a few months in between, and apparently it was at that time that Quirinius was the acting governor. So that would have been when the taxation was taken. Now, in B.C. 2, September the 1st, and this would be just around sunset, the sun was in the mid of Virgo. The moon was under the feet, a little bit like the Revelation prophecy. So perhaps the Revelation prophecy is looking back and reminding us that this prophecy in Revelation 12 begins with the birth of Christ. The sun then exits Virgo about Tishri 1, the Jewish New Year, October 1st, on our common calendar. So it seems quite likely that Jesus was born B.C. 2, October 1st, which would have been the Day of Trumpets. It would seem appropriate, would it not? And the beginning of a new era. But how about the Magi? What did they see? Did they come to the inn? Did they come to the stable, the manger? No, they came to the house. So it was a little later. Now, on December 26th of that year, Jupiter stops in the middle of Virgo and reverses direction. And so we could say that, yes, while they were in the east, they saw his star. Or, the stars rise like the sun does in the east, either way. But then, when they came to where Jesus was, it says that his star stopped. And so this may be what it means, that it was December 26th, give or take about a day. So while we do not think that Jesus was born anywhere near December 25th, it could be that was the date that the Magi arrived. Now, I think we can appreciate that the Magi didn't just come and, say, I'm glad we saw him. We wish him well. But they brought gifts. Now, Joseph and Mary and Jesus were going to need to leave Israel altogether. The Magi came in time to fund their trip into Egypt, and their stay in Egypt. We will hear now, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, from the trio, number 345.
Silent Night.
I'm sorry, 346, Silent Night. Thank you for the correction. Some further witnesses of the stars. At the time of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, And we begin a little earlier that with Jesus' baptism. In the year 29, in August 30th, at just about the time of sunset, maybe slightly after, the sun was in mid-Virgo and the moon was under her feet once more. And a month later, as the sun exits Virgo, we have Tishri 1, or the Jewish New Year. Jesus would not have been baptized on the Jewish New Year. He would have been 30 years old beginning at that time. But if he were, and we were taken out into the wilderness, he would have missed the mandatory Feast of Tabernacles. So he had to remain there until the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. If Jesus were baptized on the first Sabbath after the Feast of Tabernacles, then to 33 April the 3rd, the day he was crucified, that would have been the 1260th day since he was baptized. His ministry would have lasted 1260 days. Now, I'm not sure what to make of that, but it's interesting in light of the 1260 days in both Daniel and Revelation. When Jesus was crucified, when the moon rose, it was initially 60% eclipsed for what people could see. Not completely eclipsed. The law had not yet come to an end, but he had fulfilled the law. We think 40 years later at Masada, it ended. Now, on 33 April the 5th, Sunday, Jesus was resurrected. And then Mercury passed Venus in the northern part of the Pisces, the fish, you know, I will make you fishers of men. There's one fish that's horizontal and there's one fish that's vertical, and it passes a little bit underneath the northern-looking fish. So there seem to have been some things that have attested to Jesus as the Messiah of prophecy. In the sun and the moon and the stars, let them be for signs and for seasons. Now, I'm guilty of a number of sidetracks, and so I'll add one more while I think of it. And that is, the divine plan is not limited to the time from Jesus' birth, to the time of his crucifixion, to the time of the completion of the church, and on into the kingdom. It started well earlier than that. Now, for the Lord to have prepared all of these things, how long did it take? Well, referring back to Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, astrophysicists tell us at the moment they think it's 13.8 billion years ago. So for most of that time, the Lord has been preparing where these stars would appear in the sky as we see them. And someone has pointed out, we live in the ideal time of the history of the universe because we can see farther out than anyone could have seen a few billion years earlier or will be able to see a few billion years from now. Because in the history of the universe, there was an initial, oh, they call it a big bang, no problem. And the stars and the constellations began speeding apart. Initially, it was separating greater than the speed of light. And then it slowed down for a bit, and now it's just starting to accelerate back again. And we're just after the beginning of this part where it's accelerating, the expansion is accelerating, So it is the ideal place to see as far as one can towards the edge of the universe. The Lord has evidently prepared this for us. And for over 10 billion years, it looks like the Lord has been arranging to put the galaxies in the right place and to put the stars in the right place to be a witness to Jesus' birth, his immersion, baptism, his crucifixion and resurrection, looking forward to the completion of the church and the beginning of the thousand-year kingdom of Christ. Now, in addition, this is just a little aside again, the earth is spinning. It doesn't seem like spinning is quite the right word because it takes 24 hours to get all the way around. But the earth is spinning like a top. And if a top is caused to spin counterclockwise, as the earth does, the pole goes, the spin is counterclockwise, the pole goes the opposite direction. It spins around this way every 25,000 years approximately. At the time that Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden, all the way to the flood, that pole has been in one constellation, Draco the Dragon. Now, the prime star of Draco the Dragon is the red star, Thuban. We remember in Revelation chapter 17, I think, talks about, I saw a great red dragon in heaven. Interesting. Now, originally, that star Thuban apparently was brighter than it is now. Are Satan's future, things of Satan's future, are they dimming down? But now, during the gospel age, the pole has rotated around about 20% of the way. And it is now in the constellation of what we call today Ursa Minor. But in more ancient times, it was known as the Lesser Sheepfold. Does it cause us to think about the little flock? The little flock that has been developed during the Gospel Age. Yes, the pole has been in the constellation of the Lesser Sheepfold during this time. And our closest approach to Polaris, the brightest star of the Lesser Sheepfold, will come, I think it's about 2102, somewhere around 2102. So it's less than 100 years away that it will become its best as a pole star. But things don't end there. Within a few hundred years after that, and I think it's safe to say that's during the millennial kingdom, it will enter another constellation, Cepheus the King, who has a wounded right foot. What was the prophecy in Genesis? That thou shalt bruise his head and he will, thou shalt bruise his heel and he shall bruise thy head. There are three or four constellations that have that wounded right foot. Cepheus the King is one of them. And once the celestial pole has entered that constellation, it will be there for another 6,000 years or so, as long as the period of sin and death has been on earth. All this has been prepared for how long do we live? Some 40 years? Some 60? 70? 80? A little over that? 1,000 years? 1 billion years? No, more like 10 billion years. all of this has been in the mind of God, the plan of God, and everything is working according to His plan. I'll just mention for the record, there are references. One is a book by Joseph Seiss. It's less than an inch thick. It was one that, in fact, Brother Russell visited in Philadelphia back in the early days, the 1870s, I think it was, called The Gospel in the Stars. And like most books that we have of that sort, it was published in Grand Rapids. There's another one by, we normally call him E.W. Bullinger, but Ethelbert Bullinger, The Witness of the Stars, also published in Grand Rapids as well as England. He's also the one who edited the Companion Bible, and you can find this abbreviated a bit in one of the appendices of the Companion Bible. Now there's Ernest Martin, The Star That Astonished the World. That was published relatively recently, 1996, only 21 years ago. Ernest Martin was a fellow who parted company with Herbert Armstrong before his death. Now those that parted with him after his death number over 300 different groups, but he parted first. And his headquarters was in Glendale, just a few miles from here, maybe 7 miles at the most. And Bob Brand has talked with him in time past. That was before he moved up to Portland, Oregon. And then there's one that got the chronology of the birth of Jesus changed from 4 B.C. That was an article by a fellow named Filmer, The Chronology of the Reign of Herod the Great, published in the Journal of Theological Studies in October of 1966. And from that, Martin picked up on it. Now, Martin, I think, makes a slight mistake in saying that Jesus' birth was in B.C. 3 rather than B.C. 2, but he presents the basic data. We should add one caution before we conclude. And that is, the Bible without the stars would give us an understanding of our ransom and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. But the stars without the Bible would not. What they were able to do was point the Magi to the right time for Jesus, the arrival of the Messiah, the Anointed, the Christ. And it served its purpose. The Magi were able to fund Jesus and his parents' journey into Egypt and the stay there. Now, that pre-Babylonian zodiac was evidently being prepared for billions of years to be signs for us, for you and for me, to confirm what is doubted by so many in the world. But the stars, we need this for a caution. The stars do not tell us what to do day by day. The stars are there to show what God will do. And with that, we may take confidence. Jesus Christ was sent to be the substitute for Adam who sinned. And if all die in Adam, then by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, all may be released from the penalty of death, each in his own order. If Jesus Christ died once for all, then should not all benefit? And to that, even the stars give witness. We'll conclude, all of us, with hymn number 144, Joy to the World.